Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing? You had a good week?
It's been a good week, and we're ready for the new one. It is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we have the Gospel today from St. Matthew. So if you would now proclaim that for us, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, in looking at this gospel and putting it into context, or framing it, if you will, there are three different activities that are going on with Jesus. He was starting to preach, he was starting to recruit or call his disciples, and then he was also healing the sick.
Right, sure. Well, yeah, I felt it was interesting at the beginning of this new liturgical year, and it was kind of pronounced pretty well when you said that this is the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Because if we could just mention that for a little bit, the Ordinary Time, of course, is the majority of the liturgical year that we have as we follow Jesus through these very important parts and topics of his public ministry, to bring together, to call people, so the what you called recruiting, bringing the first apostles together as his collaborators with him. Certainly, anyone who wants to bring that message has to have those collaborators to continue the message, even down to our very day. And also, of course, the healings that he did, not ignoring people that and their needs, but also preaching to bring the good news to others. So definitely in this ordinary time, then, for the rest of the year, we're interrupted for Easter, Lent, Easter, but we'll continue that ordinary time throughout the year to see these different stories of Jesus's ministry, preaching, healing, calling people, calling us to a conversion. And that's really what this ordinary time is about. It's not ordinary in the sense that it's boring. It's ordinary in the sense this must be our ordinary life. We're all called. We're called to also serve others, and we're called to listen to the word. So to share in the sacramental life of the church. So there's nothing ordinary about it. So much to open our hearts to, especially.
And in doing a little background for the program today, Bishop, I was reading from the Elector Resource Book, and I had not realized this before, but Jesus was beginning his public ministry in Galilee. And at the time, Galilee was half Jewish and half Gentile. So in essence, he was preaching to both the Jewish people and the Gentiles.
Well, you know, even in our own diocese, you know, I think even though we're all in South Texas, but you can look around the diocese and say, well, this side of the diocese has this characteristic of people and this side has this one. And Galilee was very characteristic for its openness. And so it's interesting in that fact that, you know, closer to the temple, closer to the heart of things, it probably was a little more difficult and for Jesus to really break through with a new message, with the gospel message. And so it's interesting that he begins in Galilee and they're more open, more receptive, and we're able to hear a little better that message. And of course, as we know, as he makes his way to Jerusalem in those final days, it kind of crashes in on him, and a lot of criticism and much persecution, of course. But in Galilee, they're open. The other interesting part, we're just talking about the cities that are mentioned here, that St. Matthew says that he left Nazareth. And the words that are used is he really, that's his hometown, and he's leaving it for good. And so he's leaving Nazareth, he's really turning his back on what's familiar, what's comfortable, what's home, and launching out toward Galilee, which is where that place where he would first proclaim and bring his message to be heard. It's like leaving the old and entering into the new. So it's a decision in his part, you know, not to stay home, not to be surrounded by the comforts of human life, but to really take up now the task that he came to fulfill.
And we can look at our own lives and see how we can go outside the box, maybe kind of going outside of our comfort zone.
We all, you know, if we all had to stick around with the people that make us comfortable, we'd never grow ourselves. And plus, they don't grow. We need to also to follow where it's not so comfortable at times.
And when he was talking to the two brothers, Simon, who's also Peter, and his brother Andrew, and I thought that it was interesting, he said, I'm going to help you all fish, but he wasn't talking about fish, like the fish that we know, like redfish or drum, or he was talking about fishing for people, being fishers of men and women, and how they were to follow him.
A new kind, and this is the newness, again, kind of leaving that old approach or old understanding of things and launching into something that's very new. There are four actually fishermen that he in the gospel today that he calls Simon and his brother Andrew and also James and John. And it might be interesting just to look at characteristics of a fisherman. You know, why did Jesus, of course, we also know he eventually a tax collector and others, but seemed to focus in on the fishermen at the beginning of his ministry and his calls. And I fish. I would not call myself a fisherman, but anyway, I do enjoy it at times, but and probably because I don't fulfill all the requirements. One is patience. A person who's a fisherman, people who fish have to be patient first and foremost. I mean, it's you certainly go out for results. You want to catch fish, hopefully bring some home for dinner, but you have to be patient. So a person who's a fisherman has to know how to wait and not just seek immediate results. And that's probably where many of us don't persevere with fishing because, and that's, I would say, the second quality also as a fisherman has to be persevering, that is not discouraged. And obviously in these two or four first apostles, Jesus sees those qualities of men who are patient, who are not out there to get instant gratification, instant results, but are men who have persevered in their profession, James and John with their father, and are not discouraged, and how important that is for us to be apostles, first of all, but also just all of us as disciples. The other very interesting quality, which I think would be important to look at, is a fisherman kind of has to stay out of the shadow, too, if you're kind of out of sight, so you don't scare off the fish, that you're there, but you're not there in a certain sense. So those three, and there's other qualities, obviously, but to be patient, to be persevering, and to kind of be out of sight. I think those are qualities of being a disciple of Jesus, and certainly one for us as priest, bishop, clergy people. We really need to, if we're working with people, if we're bringing the message of God, the kingdom of God, it's one that has to break through. Galilee for Jesus was an opening spot where there was openness, but he also had to be patient. It was a new message. It was something that was calling people to a conversion. He couldn't be discouraged. People reject what they don't know or what makes them uncomfortable. And also, if it's all about us, I mean, our personalities, certainly Christ uses us, but we're not preaching ourselves. And right. So when he's looking and choosing disciples, he's, I would say, in many ways looking for those qualities in us too, and especially as we try to bring the message of the gospel, the message of truth to others, we have to be patient. We have to persevere and not be discouraged, and we have to not preach ourselves. So mm-hmm. kind of be there but not there, you know. And I think again, that's where the Blessed Mother is called by the Church, the not only the mother of all Christians, the mother of the Church, but she's also the model because she was patient. She knew how to wait, and she was persevering. She never was discouraged, and she was always giving way to her son and not focusing attention on herself or allowing other people to do that as well. So I would say, you know, in many ways, the gospel today is certainly about the beginning of the call of apostles to follow Jesus and to form that inner circle, but it also has ramifications for each one of us as followers of Christ.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And Bishop, you were talking about being fishers of men and using the analogy about why Jesus was looking at fishermen and why Jesus was approaching the fishermen and how these men relate to their eventual roles as disciples. Jesus wanted his disciples to preach and follow him. And when I think of the word preaching, sometimes it can be taken with a bit of a negative connotation. But in terms of maybe refocusing on that term, what are some characteristics of preaching? What might they be?
Well, first of all, I think, the way that we preach should reflect in many ways the way that we are as a disciple. Mm-hmm. So kind of to link those two is to go back to that person who is called to be a disciple first and then proclaim the word. I think sometimes our disconnect is there. Mm-hmm. I was giving a retreat couple of weeks ago in the one of the seminaries here in Texas, and you know, I brought that up because we can load people up with a lot of theology and a lot of head mm-hmm. stuff, but if we can't speak out of our own experience, then we're kind of missing the point. And I think in some ways it kind of says that we're loading up on other people's shoulders what we're not carrying ourselves. So I think those characteristics which I talked of before the break of the disciple really need to be at the heart of the preacher as well, the one who is preaching and the one who is giving a homily, and that is to be patient, to be persevering, and to really disappear. We need to speak God's word, but not to interfere with it with our own preaching ourselves. You know, too often we get too flashy, I think, at times with proclaiming the word, and we overshadow the true depth of the call of the word with ourselves. So we have to be very careful there to find that area of being a patient soul, persevering, and kind of out of sight. That, I think, then flows over into in what we say. And we are called, those of us who are ordained and called to bring the good news have to speak the word. The word comes out of our mouth, but it has to be connected to our heart. And so I would say that when Jesus preached, when he came forth to bring the word, he certainly was, this is going back to who he is, He was the Son of God. He is God. He's God and man. So his words were human, but his heart was also human, but it was also divine. And So what he says has a certainty to it. There's not a shadow of doubt. I mean, he's not saying, well, maybe, or it could be, or it should be, or it would be. I mean, those kind of conditional phrases cast a shadow of doubt on the word that we're saying. We're not sure. If you look at the gospel, there is no uncertainty, very definite. And if we are, as his disciples, if we're convinced in our own life of that, then that should be reflected in what we say. It also has authority. The second characteristic of our preaching has the authority that it is from God, confirmed by the church. We have to have that step as well. It's not that we've just been enlightened by, you know, a message from heaven out of the blue, but it also has a certain authority, not only in the divine authority, but also the authority of tradition through the years. And so our preaching should have that deep, deep sense of authority. And thirdly, I would say it has to be a message which is enveloped in the beyond. If the Word of God is the Word of God, then it's not a human word, as the scripture says. It's a word of God. And that's why we say, thanks be to God for giving us this word. But if we envelop the message with so much of the here and now, we need to lift our hearts up as well. That's why before as we enter into the Eucharistic prayer, lift up your hearts. St. Augustine said you can't pray unless you lift up your heart. So the characteristic of preaching also has to speak of the beyond, of the next life. Very real for us in this life, but also very beyond. And so it's an art, which is not learned by books or techniques, but it's learned by a deep, close relationship, friendship with Jesus Christ, that this is his certainty, that this is his authority, and this is his message from the Father for us. And I think if we could kind of make sure, as those of us who are commissioned to and ordained to preach the word could really focus on those qualities, I think it would be a wonderful gift to the people of God. On the other hand, it's the listening side. When we're talking about preaching today, you can preach, but there have to be people to listen. And there's conditions, I would say, for that, which is that faith, that those of you who are heading to Mass today should go in a spirit of faith, not what can I get out of it, what can I hear today, or what can I argue with. But to open the preaching, the homilies of the church are not meant for debate. They're meant to move the heart, the human heart, to the beyond, and to move the heart to respond to the here and now, to respond to the needs of the here and now, but also to lift us beyond this life to eternal life, which we will all share. So it is a call to a conversion, that the preaching. So if it does have a sense of humdrum and boring, and then we as proclaimers need to relook at ourselves first and how we preach, but also the listener needs to listen to say, am I listening with my heart or my head? But we also have to learn to let the words sink in and take effect.
Well, and I think you as the priest are delivering the homilies. It's a very fine balance. But for those of us who are sitting in the pews, we have to be active listeners. And we've talked about this many times as well. We can't be thinking about all the things we have to do once we get home. We have to really, really be present in that moment and really make an effort to really listen. To be an active listener will only enrich our experience of hearing the homilies that are delivered at Mass. And when I walk out of church going through the week, we can have an opportunity to refer back to those moments that we heard at Mass, and the message from the homily will resonate with us.
Exactly. And there's always something. I love what St. Ignatius used to say, is to always listen for the good. You know, we can criticize, well, I don't like the style, I don't like this. But if it is the Lord's message that is being proclaimed, he's saying something to us. I remember I used to concelebrate when I was a young priest with a pastor on Saturdays, because that was the only Mass we had, and I was going to Mass every day, so I'd go to the 5 o'clock Mass in the evening on Saturdays, and many times he gave the homily, and a lady came up after Mass, and she said, "I watch you watching him when he's giving his homilies, and he only has 7, and he gives them over and over and over. What are you listening to?" And I quoted that. I said, "You know, St. Ignatius said, if you listen, even though it's the same word, you'll hear something," and it's true. I mean, I found that to be true. I mean, it wasn't my style. I did it very differently, but there was something, because it's the Lord communicating to us. It's not the person, and that's one of those qualities of discipleship. I said, the person has to step out of the way, also the listener, and let the Lord do his work on us. So we can always hear something new for our life.
That's right. We can learn from it and move forward. As you had mentioned about conversion, in reference to this particular gospel as well, looking at the catechism, it said that the first work of grace of the Holy Spirit is conversion, affecting justification in accordance with Jesus' proclamation in the gospel. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Moved by grace, man turns toward God and away from sin, thus accepting forgiveness and righteousness from on high. It's a lot to take in, but something we really truly need to listen to and embrace. It is a lot to absorb.
Yeah. Well, of course, forgiveness puts us right in front of God. It justifies us. It makes us, really puts us back into that state of who we are. But we also know that we fall back. And so forgiveness is constant in God. You know, even when we don't ask, he still forgives. But we do have to ask. We have to correspond. We have to respond to that grace. And so the grace of forgiveness is the grace of conversion, that it's an ongoing process. It's not a once and for all deed done, and then I just sit back in the side seat and let it happen. No, I mean, we have to actively participate in the life of being a disciple. A friend of mine has written a book, and he gave me a copy the other day, and it's called A Eulogy to Fidelity. I caught my eye right away, and basically, I thought it was going to be a commentary on a faithless world, but basically what he's saying is we have to learn to have a eulogy on our own fidelity to what is not God in order to turn and be faithful to God. So conversion is about leaving something behind, which is the eulogy to our fidelity as a human being to something, a habit, a sin. So if we look at our life, sometimes we are faithful to our own sins. You know, well, we can just go to confession or keep happening. And so he's calling for a eulogy to that fidelity in order to be faithful to God. And that's what a conversion is. It's a change of heart. And next week, I believe, we'll look at the Beatitudes. So it is a turning away from in order to turn toward. As we began today talking about Jesus leaving Nazareth to go to Galilee, to Capernaum. And so that is really the analogy of conversion. Justification is we are justified in Jesus Christ. The cooperation of turning away from and moving toward.
That gives us a lot to think about, Bishop. Thank you for your time and your insight. If you would now end the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your call. May we be faithful to you this week and not faithful to our own plans and programs, so that we may make room for you. May Almighty God bless each one of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.